This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Democrats shut down the government. Okay, we got that. But why? We'll discuss that tonight. Tim Burchett is here. Is China actually going to invade Taiwan? All that and so much more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, let's talk about this government shutdown in a more simple way, shall we? Because the government is currently shut down.
Yes.
But why? What's the reasoning? Every side's doing propaganda right now. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of what it is. Here's what Chuck Schumer said it was.
Every Republican who's gone on TV the last 12 hours or so has called this the Schumer shutdown. What do you say about that name? Senator Schumer, can you hear me?
I can't hear.
Senator Schumer, can you hear me? I don't think Senator Schumer can hear me right now. Maybe the government shutdown included audio on Capitol Hill.
So he was at a loss for words. All right, so I guess we'll have to move on. Let's find out what else they're saying. AOC, Bernie Sanders, here they were.
What I'm not going to do is tolerate 4 million uninsured Americans because Donald Trump decided one day that he wants to just make sure that kids are dying because they don't have access to insurance.
So are you telling me you're willing to vote no every time Leader Thune brings
right.
this up?
I am not going to allow. Let me be clear. All right, you can quote me on this. You can quote me on as we say in Vermont to the cows come home. I will not let tens of thousands of fellow Americans die because they're thrown off of health care. In my state, people cannot afford a doubling in the health care premiums. We are already paying the highest prices in the country for health care. People just can't afford it.
Okay. So I know you're going to find this shocking, but they're going with the line, people will die. People will die. People will die. This is a standard Democrat line. And as I've taught you before, whenever Democrats pull out, people will die, you know they're up against something that's very important to them. Now let's switch gears and go to our side. Don't worry, I'm going to give you the real nitty-gritty in a moment. Here was Vice President J.D. Vance.
In their initial proposal, the first thing that they put out to reopen the government, they actually turned that money for health care benefits for illegal aliens back on. So it's not something that we made up. It's not a talking point. It is in the text of the bill that they initially gave to us to reopen the government. It's preposterous for them to run away from it now. But look, let's set that all to the side. Let's open up the government. Let's negotiate on all of these health care policy issues. Obviously, we're not going to support health care benefits for illegal aliens. Aliens, but we will work with them to lower health care costs for American citizens if they're willing to do so.
Okay. So, what's the reality of it? Well, let's talk about combat, shall we? War. You know Sun Tzu. You've probably heard of Sun Tzu. Wrote that infamous book that's on everybody's bookshelf, whether you're a general or in the business world, The Art of War. It's a fascinating book, by the way. Highly recommend it. All kinds of little easily consumable statements in there. But he has one that is really, really great. I mean, there's a lot that's great. But one of the ones is, do not attack what is strong. Attack what is weak. I have tried endlessly when I'm playing Risk with my sons to teach them this. Because they'll take huge armies and they'll throw them up against some fortress I have built up instead of the little barely defended country right next door because they're testosterone-driven meatheads. They continue to attack what is strong. Don't do that. Attack what is weak. So if you want to know the reality of why Democrats are doing what they're doing, don't listen to Chuck Schumer. He's very experienced at this. AOC, believe it or not, very savvy politically. You have to go to the dumbest among them, the weak link. And that is always the person who will accidentally be extremely honest. Maxine Waters is always your go-to.
But aren't Democrats demanding health care for illegal aliens?
Democrats are demanding health care for everybody. We want to save lives. We want to make sure that health care is available to those who would die but having the help of their government.
So you're good with a government shutdown, even if it means giving health care to people who aren't American citizens?
Well, you keep That's what you're pushing on. What you're trying to do is you're standing here and you're trying to make me say that somehow we're going to put non-citizens over Americans. Quit it. Stop it. This is the kind of journalism we don't need.
No, I'm just
you're divisive.
Questions.
No, you're not.
Yeah, no, that's
you're being
what...
divisive. No, please. Don't. You don't need to ask that question. You're just trying to get controversy here. You're not going to get it from me. We want to save health care for all people. Thank you.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Appreciate it.
Always go to Maxine. She doesn't have the brain power to hold back from the talking point. So what is the real deal? Obviously, yes, giving health care to illegals is part of what they're doing. But here's just the plain text of it. Let me explain this to you in the most basic way, because this stuff gets very confusing. The United States of America, our government, our Congress, they refuse to ever pass a new budget. They refuse to do it. Nobody wants to put their name on this spending or that spending, and nobody wants to actually cut spending. Oh, no, they're going to wait until the entire country collapses economically. So what do you do? What they've been doing is passing a continuing resolution over and over and over and over and over again. You've probably heard it in the news referenced as a CR. A CR, we got to get a CR. Can we get a CR? Well, what is a CR? Continuing resolution. What does that mean? That means you take the budget that was passed long, long ago and you extend it. That's it. You don't adjust really anything. Not up, not down, you don't add, you don't subtract, you just, hey, let's do this for another few months. Let's do this for another 6 months. Let's do this for the rest of the year. Both parties have been doing this for a long time. By the way, quick pause, any CR is a controversy. The idea of a CR itself is a complete scandal, should only be passed, it was only ever meant for super emergency situations. We're at war. We don't have time. Just give us another couple months. Set that aside. That's what we've always been doing. So why right now, why won't Democrats just do that? They look terrible. The country is not on their side here. It is Democrats who didn't give them the 60 votes they needed in the Senate to pass the CR. All the Republicans said, just pass it. Democrats said no. Why would they do that when they don't look good politically? Well, the Democrat Party itself, they're in very serious trouble nationally. And they know this. They might not know a way out of it, but they know it. Because all these people do is live and die for poll numbers. Every day they have a new poll out they've spent a fortune on, and they study these polls and they see their popularity is going down. Even worse for them, Donald Trump's popularity is going up. The Republican Party itself is more popular than Democrats comfortably, especially on the critical issues that matter for Americans, issues like immigration. The Republican Party is currently polling at 20 points above Democrats on the issue of crime. The Democrat Party is simply not popular. Now, what does that mean? It means Democrats have to figure something out, and they're in virtually an impossible situation. I would feel bad for them if they weren't a bunch of demonic savages. Their base, the anti-human demons who make up the Democrat base, vandalizing, killing people, those people, they demand right now, they are demanding, you should fight Trump harder. Every single poll reflects that. Democrats, their number one issue is stop Trump, fight Trump. Why aren't you fighting harder? So you know that if you're a Democrat. But you also know this. The public at large, not your base, the public at large thinks you're a bunch of unhinged psychopaths. So you have to find a way to walk a tightrope that is currently impossible for Democrats to walk. That tightrope is you have to signal to your base that you're going to get Trump. You're going to fight him really hard while also trying to not look like subhuman demons to the public at large. It is not something that is currently possible for the Democrat Party. What this is, what this shutdown is an effort to give their base something. We are stopping Trump. We're trying to get health care for illegals. We're trying to do something. It's an effort to do something. And the problem for them is the Trump administration saw this coming and they saw an opportunity. because there's an opportunity to do things during a shutdown you wouldn't otherwise have. Trump spoke about it.
We can do things during the shutdown that are irreversible, that are bad for them and irreversible by them, like cutting vast numbers of people out, cutting things that they like, cutting programs that they like. And you all know Russell Vogt. He's become very popular recently because he can trim the budget to a level that you couldn't do any other way. So they're taking a risk by having a shot.
What's he saying there? Normally, during a government shutdown, pause on that for a moment. Remember, the communists have been infiltrating our federal government for years and years and years, filling it up with their loyal comrades. There are communist warriors all throughout the government fighting a revolution against our country. And because of our ridiculous laws in this country, it's virtually impossible to fire these people in normal situations. And normally, when the government shuts down, what happens? These people get a couple weeks off. Hey, time to go down to the Caribbean. Time to go get some Mai Tais in Mexico. Don't worry, you'll all be brought back as soon as they end up signing the bill, which we all know they're going to sign, and you come back. But there's a new sheriff in town. The Trump administration, since they got there, has shown a wonderful desire to get rid of these people, because you have to. You have to get these cancers out of the government in order to save the country. Democrats, in an effort to try to get Trump, try to give their base a win, they have left themselves exposed. Now we can take so many of these cancers and not send them to Mexico for 2 weeks. We can send them where they belong, to the unemployment line. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and you should put a smile on your face. We're in a very good place right now. How good of a place? Well, here's how Grandma Vodka's taking it.
The president has said, I hear what they're saying. It's all unserious and ridiculous. In fact, I've listened to their shit, and I tell them to go fuck themselves. So that's the... I can't believe I use that word. My kids will be shocked. My grandchildren will be further shocked. I'm just quoting the President of the United States. And so I think the leverage springs not from any shared values with him, if that's what he thinks health care is about, and yourself, but that it is something that they're hearing from constituents, that they do not want to see the health care costs go up if the Affordable Care Act subsidies are not extended.
It's wonderful. And hey, don't worry about those potty words, Grandma Vodka. We all get a little loose in the tongue when the tequila starts greasing up the joints. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. The great Congressman Tim Burchett joins us in just a moment. Now, speaking of great, you know olive oil that's fresh is great, and olive oil that's not sucks. Your olive oil is bland and flavorless because you bought it from the grocery store. My olive oil has always been bland and flavorless because we always got it from the grocery store. I'm not going to get some specialty olive oil. It's all the same, right? Months, years old. That's the kind of olive oil you have. At farmfresh246.com, they'll send you a bottle fresh from the farm. You try one bottle. That's the only place you'll go. It's so full of flavor, you don't realize what you've been eating. They'll send you a $39 bottle for free. You pay them a buck to help cover the shipping. Farmfresh246.com. Go discover some flavor. We'll be back.
We're in this position because Senate Democrats decided that they were going to shut down the government despite the fact that the House voted to keep the government open.
Okay. What's the real skinny on what's going on here? I told you my thoughts. I think Democrats are desperate for a win with their rabid base, and so they're just committing political suicide. But I don't know. You know Tim will give it to us straight. Joining me now, great congressman from the state of Tennessee, Tim Burchett. All right, you're always honest with us, and we love that. What's the real game? What's happening here?
I think y'all both are right. I think what I really think is Chuck Schumer. You know, Hakeem Jeffries is out of the picture. The House has already done their thing. They've already voted to shut the thing down. They can't run from that. They can They can go on ABC, CNN, CBS, or NBC all they want, or The View, and tell everybody that's not the case, but just look at the numbers. I think Chuck Schumer is looking in his rearview mirror, and who does he see back there? He sees AOC, as I call her, Cortez. And he is afraid, bigger than life, that she is going to run against him, because you know good and well she'll raise millions overnight. Hollywood, college kids, Marxists all over the country will give her money. And Schumer is, you know, he's been a classic liberal for most of his career. He's even been fairly moderate back in the day when he first got up there. You can find some old clips of him countering everything he said. Up there, he looks like an invalid almost with that. I see Al Green Kane is in front of him. But, you know, he needs to go back home and flip raw hamburgers with his grandkids, with cheese on them, because he is a complete farce. And the reason he's doing it, he sees what's going on in New York. He sees that a Marxist communist is going to win. And that scares him to death, because that's not part of his base. And so he's just throwing everything out. He'll throw the country down the sewer. And these Democrats are walking the plank because they haven't thought for themselves in so long. You know, I mean, just look at these people. They're so old and out of touch with what's going on in this country that they're going to shut this country down to give health care to illegals. They're going to take $50 billion from rural health care. What, you got some God-fearing little pregnant woman up here in the mountains somewhere, her and her family, and they're going to cut her health care off because they want to give it to the illegals? No, that ain't happening. And all the things they want to put back in, the transgendered surgery, everything else, it's just pathetic. Schumer needs to go to the House. He's way past his expiration date, and this is just part of the game they're playing, and they're going to wreck this country doing it. It's all a diversion. It's all it's about. He is playing the game, and he's losing. He is losing right now.
Yeah, he's a total lizard person who doesn't actually believe in anything at all. This dynamic where these, like you said, probably fairly moderate people in leadership in the Democrat Party are now afraid of the animals that make up the Democrat base. Do you see this playing out over and over again in the party? Because from the outside looking in, it looks like they're all that way. It looks like if you're a senior Democrat, you feel like you have to basically get to the left of Karl Marx in order to keep your seat, and it's just burning the party down.
It is. It's it's the carrot and the stick. They use it very well. They reward you with the carrot, or they beat you over the head with the stick. And that's exactly what they're doing now. They just, if one goes left, they go left plus one. And the lies they're telling, they're easily provable, because for so long they were, you know, The View was basically, you know, their test market, and they could put anything out and they just regurgitate all their false narratives out, but nobody's buying it anymore. People are looking at the facts. They're seeing this thing. They're saying, hey, this guy Trump actually makes a little bit of sense. You know, people ought not be on Medicaid or Medicare that are fraudulently there. They should have to look for work 20 hours a week. 20 hours a week. You tell a single mom that, who's busting her butt with three jobs, got a couple of kids because she's got a dirtbag old man that won't pay anything, and, you know, that she's got to do that, and then they're going to just take from her and give to these illegals. That just ain't flying anymore, brother. It is not flying, and America's woke up. The best friend the Democrat Party has, though, is the Republican Party. We're the worst at messaging. You know, it's a simple message, and it's easily provable. I put that out on my Twitter, on my X account, at Tim Burchett. I had a little video. I was going to speak to an event. I was in the passenger seat, of course, because it'd be illegal if I was in the driver's seat. But I put that out about what's going on with this shutdown. 1.5 million views in 2 days. America is hungry for what we're telling them, because they know it's the truth, and they've been fed lies all along.
Yeah, people are dying for the truth. Tim, I know you're a busy man. Appreciate you, brother, as always. Come back soon, please. All right. What's going on with China and Taiwan? From what I understand, it involves ferries. We're going to talk to him in a moment. Before we talk to him, speaking of that, how's your testosterone? The United States of America, we're in trouble. I'm not talking about the debt or the border. I'm not even talking about politically. There is a civilization-ending problem going on in this country, and that problem is our testosterone levels. We are drinking synthetic estrogens by the gallon. The result of this is men are depressed, low T, they're dying too early, their mood is down, their minds don't work right. We have to reverse this. Chalk is on a mission to reverse this naturally, not with needles in your arm, naturally. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will have you, man or woman, feeling more energetic, better mood, ready to take on the day every single day, happier, healthier. That's what Chalk is selling you. Try it. Natural herbal supplements, not some magic elixir. The best natural herbal supplements I've ever had in my life. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Okay, so what's going on with China and Taiwan? I feel like we've had this talk several times before. We all know China wants it. Frankly, they already consider it theirs. Taiwan does not consider themselves Chinese, but now we find out China's building up their commercial ferry fleet. What does that mean? I guess we're going to talk ferries with Lee Smith, my friend, joining me now, author of the book, The China Matrix. Hey, Lee, what's up with China and all these ferries?
Jesse, I am always honored to be on with you speaking about ferries, and especially when there's a relationship to China, China and ferries. That's my beat, the China ferry beat. Look, the big thing about Taiwan here, Taiwan is important. The first island chain is important. What Donald Trump is focusing on with the tariffs and with a trade war is this. The reason that China has a very powerful military, is building a very powerful navy, is because of the trade imbalance, which is now worth many, many trillions of dollars. That's all American dollars that American political and corporate elites have given away to the People's Republic of China. So without that money, China can't build its military. That's the most fundamental problem. There's no doubt that Taiwan is very, very crucial for a whole bunch of different reasons. But the big thing that needs to be addressed is we have to find a way to strip China of its ability to take billions, hundreds of billions away from the United States each year.
Okay, Lee, so they want the military for Taiwan, right? This isn't just a show of force, because honestly, it's been going on so long. They're building up. They're going to take Taiwan. They're building up. They're going to take Taiwan. It almost feels like that they don't necessarily want Taiwan at this point in time. Why haven't they just taken it?
I mean, among other reasons, it's not that easy, because they're not quite sure how Donald Trump would respond. I think they'd have a pretty good idea if it was Joe Biden or Barack Obama who's in charge, because remember the different ways, which I document in the China Matrix, about how the Asia pivot, the Obama administration's Asia pivot, actually meant nothing, right? It was strictly rhetorical. All the different things that the Chinese Navy, the Chinese Air Force were doing in the Indo-Pacific theater, there was virtually no pushback from Obama, no pushback from Biden. But with Donald Trump, it's different. The Chinese don't know exactly how Donald Trump would respond. Because remember the different things that Donald Trump has, I wouldn't say thrown down the gauntlet, but has proven that America is willing to use force. There, of course, was Operation Midnight Hammer, obliterating Iran's nuclear program. And then there's the stuff that Donald Trump has been, there's the arming Ukraine, and the stuff that Donald Trump has been saying, threatening Vladimir Putin to bear down and get in line.
Lee, what can we do to China if they decide to go after Taiwan and we want to hurt them? It's long been a traditional way of thinking that we would have a very difficult time projecting power over there, and them a difficult time projecting power over here. What can we do to them, and what are we willing to do, being as how we rely on them economically?
Well, it's not just economically. I mean, we have a very big problem. We have a very powerful navy. But it's important to remember that the Chinese destroyed our steel industry, or not destroyed it, but they hobbled it badly by dumping a whole bunch of steel here. Look, we still have an extremely powerful Navy, and that's how we project force around the globe. So that's certainly what the Chinese are concerned about, and that's at the forefront of the thinking of American military planners. It's our Navy, and it's our Air Force. That's how we project power globally.
Lee, has President Trump, and I understand it is a needle to thread, I really do. We can't just get off the China drug overnight. Actually, we were on China drugs, but that's another story entirely. We can't just get off it overnight, but has he been hard enough on China? Has he been too hard on China? I know he's trying to navigate quite a minefield here.
Well, look, the very important thing is it's not just being hard on China, it's being hard on American companies. And that's one of the reasons why Donald Trump celebrates Tim Cook. Remember, he was at the joint session of Congress back in February, and Tim Cook has visited the White House since then. This is the head of Apple, because Donald Trump is trying to get American companies to move back to the United States. When we talk about the trade imbalance with China, what people need to understand is a big chunk of that trade imbalance is with American companies and other Western companies who have moved their manufacturing to China. This is crucial to understand. It's Americans who are selling out, not just American workers, but endangering American national security, our peace and prosperity, by moving their manufacturing to China. So he does definitely have some leverage over that, and that's why he's he celebrates Tim Cook, saying this is a good guy who's done the right thing. So yeah, through a combination of sticks and carrots, the president of the United States certainly has some control, has a lot of control over what these Western companies are doing in China.
Go pick up the China Matrix, by the way, if you want to. It's an endlessly complicated affair. All right, speaking of an affair that's, I don't know, I guess less complicated in my mind, what is this 20-point plan for peace in Gaza? From my understanding, and you obviously can correct me if I'm wrong, Lee, Hamas has lost 80% of their territory, which means they've lost God knows how much of their fighting force. That's about at the end, I would say. They don't have any options left, right? Setting aside all personal preferences, what options do they even have?
Well, I think that's right, and that's what this is. It's basically terms of surrender. The problem is that Hamas is ideological, right? And to surrender, to the Zionist enemy and its great Satan superpower sponsor is a big problem, right? Because that's not just losing its forces, that's also losing a tremendous amount of prestige. So whether Hamas can accept these terms of surrender, that's the big question on everyone's mind. And I think that Donald Trump believes they will not do it. And that's why the return of the hostages, that's why that's so important. Look, the Israelis can walk away, can certainly declare it a huge win if they get all of their hostages back within the 72 hours once this deal is accepted, right? That's the crucial part, because that's the most real thing. 48 hostages. A lot of the other stuff is fake, frankly, whether we're talking about an Arab protection force, whether we're talking about the different ways that Hamas leaders can renounce violence and adopt a peaceful way. I mean, that's really just bells and whistles. The key thing is whether Hamas will release the 48 hostages, most of whom are dead. But that's the key. If that happens, then they can move on and we'll see what else happens. But that's the crucial part. And again, I suspect they will not. But if they do, then it's another win for Donald. I mean, either way, it's a win for the United States. It's a win for the Trump administration. Either getting the hostages back or not getting the hostages back. And as Trump has said, unleashing Israel to do what it needs to do in Gaza to destroy a terrorist entity.
Lee, I understand Israel is complicated in the way every single country is complicated. There's not one political party. There's not one thing that drives them. But so when I say Israel, I understand I'm making it a little too simplistic. But do you think Israel wants this deal to go through? Because if you've almost conquered your enemy, let's call it 80%, your enemy is almost gone. Why would you want to sign a peace deal now? Why wouldn't they just want to finish the job?
Well, because if Hamas does fulfill these obligations, then that's a big win. Getting those hostages back, yeah. It's very important, not just for the government. It's very important for the Israeli public. And Jesse, you're exactly right. There's a lot of different opinions. There's a lot of different political parties in Israel, but everyone would consider that a big win. And the Israelis would be happy to take what they have right now as a win and getting rid of Hamas and getting the hostages back. And I also suspect that the official Israel, the government of Israel, probably believes, along with President Trump, that Hamas is not going to accept these terms of surrender.
Lee, before I let you go, just something it's been on my mind since October 7th, among other things, is you say Hamas is ideological, and obviously that's true, but Al-Qaeda is ideological. You know, ISIS is ideological, and yet while these organizations will do very stupid, insane things, they're selective because they understand risks. You know, they understand you can hit here, you can't hit there. You can hit here, maybe don't take it too far. How in the world could you be so dumb as to think you could launch a raid and slaughter 1,000 people on a military superior force and get anything other than what they've gotten? I just don't understand strategically the way of thinking. I don't understand it.
Well, you know, there's some speculation and there's some evidence for this as well, that this was an attack that was supposed to be joined by Hezbollah and the Islamic Republic of Iran as well. And had they been moving on multiple fronts, that would have been very, very bad for Israel. But Hamas went through with it. And, you know, but nonetheless, Jesse, I mean, Hamas still considers this a big win. I mean, killing that many people, killing that many Jews, they consider that an enormous win. And they consider it a win right now to be holding on to the hostages, because their hatred, just the idea that they can, and again, it's affecting not just Israelis and not just Jews around the world, but people of good conscience. So at the top of that list is Donald Trump, who's the world's institutional memory of October 7th. He reminds the press all the time about what happened. And people are just so grossed out, and it's so morally and spiritually degrading, the idea that they're holding these people, they're holding corpses, and they're torturing them. They're making them dig their own graves. So yeah, unfortunately for Hamas, they consider that a win too, to horrify people. That's a big part of terror, to scare people and to horrify people.
What a world. Lee, his book is The China Matrix. I love everything rewrites. Highly recommend you go pick it up. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to touch on the Supreme Court real quick with Bill Jacobs and figure out exactly what's going on there. What should we be looking forward to or dreading? I know what I look forward to. Paying my cell phone bill. Isn't that a weird thing to say? Why would you ever look forward to paying a bill? Paying bills sucks, because I pay so much less than I used to. We had T-Mobile as a family. We had four lines, four of us. And I would get the text message notifications when it was time to pay the bill. And every single month I would get mad. I would look mortified by the whole thing. But I pay half of that now. And it's not just that I pay half of what I was paying before. I pay a company that shares my values and promotes my values, our values. Pure Talk. They believe in America. They believe in veterans. They are so patriotic, they hire Americans, even in customer service. Nobody does that anymore. They all farm it out to some third world dump where nobody speaks English. Not Pure Talk. Switch. You want a new phone? They got it. You want to keep your phone? Do. You want to keep your number? They make it pain-free. Switch. If for no other reason than to save money. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Supreme Court is about to begin another term. I don't understand these terms. I don't understand what they're doing when they're not in terms. And I also don't understand what's coming in this term, but I don't have to understand any of that because Bill Jacobson understands it all. Joining me now, Cornell University Law Professor, the great Bill Jacobson. Bill, what is a Supreme Court term, and what do they do when they're not in their term?
Well, they still do some work. They still have emergency motions, but the term really is just when they hear oral arguments, and it starts first week in October, and it runs through potentially June. So that's what they call a term, and they're essentially off for the summer, but they're working over the summer. So term is just a docketing method to get things on the calendar.
Okay, so term is just a term. See what I did there, Bill? All right, so what's coming up for this term?
Well, we've talked about this before, the tariffs. The Trump tariffs is probably the most economically significant case that we're going to face. And that has to do with whether President Trump, when he imposed the emergency tariffs, exceeded his authority. There are two issues there. One is, did he properly invoke there being an emergency? I think the Supreme Court's going to say that decision is up to the president. But the more interesting one, which is where he lost in the federal court below, is whether tariffs are even a remedy under this emergency statute. And what they held below in the federal court, Court of Appeals, was that even if he properly invoked the emergency, tariffs is not one of the remedies. Tariffs are reserved for Congress. The statute doesn't mention tariffs, so he exceeded his authority. I think it's going to be a close call. I don't know which way that one's going to go, but his entire economic agenda in many ways, or at least a significant part of it, is built around the tariffs. So this is a very high stakes case.
Okay, so help me understand this, Bill, because you're right. It's always tariff this and tariff that, and we got a new deal with this country and a new deal with that country, and we struck a deal with the UK. Does that mean if they rule against him that all that stuff becomes unraveled? Is that what that means?
It could, yeah. I mean, people are talking about perhaps, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs that have been collected are going to have to be returned to people. So yes, it's very high stakes. If they rule that what he did was without authority, then it all comes apart.
All right, Lisa Cook. How is Lisa Cook still with the Fed? How is this possible?
Well, she's appointed, as Fed governors are, to 14-year terms, and the president can only remove somebody for cause. That's the term in the statute. And the issue is whether she was removed for cause. The lower courts held that whatever she did before she became a Fed governor cannot be cause to terminate her. And what she allegedly did, to be determined, but the accusation is that she committed mortgage fraud, that she pulled what is being accused, I think it's of Adam Schiff, claiming two primary residences. Whether she did it or she didn't is a different issue. But the judge below said that even if it was, that was long before she became a Fed governor. And you can't use something that they did prior to becoming a governor as cause to terminate. I don't know which way that's going to go. That has most of the cases when it comes to firings have gone Trump's way in the Supreme Court. But this one's a little different because it's the Fed. It's a separate statute. It's an more independent than some of the other supposedly independent agencies. And I think it's going to turn on what does cause mean under the statute. I think Trump's going to win that one. You know, no guarantees, don't put money on it. But I think he's going to win it because I think it's the analogy is if you conceal something during the employment hiring process that, had it been disclosed, would have disqualified you from the job, the fact that your employer finds out about it after you're hired, I think is still cause to terminate. So I think he's going to win this one. But as with anything in the courts, you can never predict to a certainty, but I think he's going to win that one.
Bill, switching gears, sorry, we're moving fast, but it's going to be a busy term. There's two gender identity cases. I hate even using that stupid word, but what are we looking at here?
Yeah, there are two cases in the Supreme Court. My group, Equal Protection Project, happens to have submitted briefs on each one that have to do with state laws requiring that for girls' sports, that whether you're female or you're male has to be based on biology, has to be based on reality. And lower courts held that that violated the rights of people who don't want to do that, that the state legislatures didn't have that power. I think that's going to go the way of the legislatures. I think that to have any other standard other than a fact-based, reality-based standard when it comes to sex discrimination, I think would unravel Title IX, the sex discrimination statute, the federal law. So I think that particularly given the, you know, courts as it is now, the Supreme Court, the 6-3 majority, six supposed conservatives, sometimes they are, sometimes they're not, but I think that's going to go the way. I think the court's going to say that under Title IX, you judge sex discrimination and the rights you have under that statute based on reality, based on biology, not how you feel. So I think that one is going to go the way of the girls who are trying to protect their sports against men who say they're girls participating in it. So I think that's going to be a big win for girls in the Supreme Court.
Finally, voting rights cases. There are three of these, from my understanding. What's at stake here?
Yeah, well, the key one is out of Louisiana. And the issue is, under the Voting Rights Act, are states required to create majority-minority districts, so majority essentially black districts, and that was the issue. In order to comply with the law, do you have to engage in racial gerrymandering? Do you have to take race into account in order to create congressional districts? And that's the issue. And I think the Supreme Court's, particularly in light of the 2023 affirmative action ruling, I think is going to say no, you're not obligated to create, and you can't create congressional districts based on race. But that's just the legal part of it. The real part of it, the political part of it, is that this could cause Democrats throughout the country to lose several congressional districts, because when they are creating majority black districts, the Democrats have a stake, because just given voting patterns, that's likely to be a Democrat district. So that's what's really at stake. Democrats couldn't care less about whether it's majority, minority. What they want is a district they think will vote reliably Democrat. And so that's what's really at stake. The legal context is the Voting Rights Act and whether you can racially gerrymander congressional districts. The real fight is 3 to 5 seats might swing to Republicans if the Democrats lose in the Supreme Court.
So it's all about power, like always. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate you educating us again. Let's do a light in the mood, a wonderful one. Next. It's time to lighten the mood. And there is obviously something about sick kids that always tugs at every human being's heartstrings. And you don't ever want to see a child sick. And Trump signed an executive order yesterday to accelerate pediatric cancer research, which, I mean, kids with cancer, what's worse than that? And he brought a bunch of these wonderful children into the White House. And it's very rare that somebody steals the show from President Trump, but it happened yesterday.
Would anybody like to say something? Would you like to say something, honey?
Yes. I'm Ilana Myers, and I'm 9 years old, and I had a blood cancer called leukemia when I was only 2 years old. I had to get treated at 7 different hospitals across this country, and I had to have 2 bone marrow transplants, one from my dad and one from my mom. And I had to spend many days and the nights in the hospital getting pokies and yucky medicine. And me and my parents were very worried, and I had to go through those 7 different hospitals to find the best treatment that can make me better. And thank you, Mr. President, for making everything happen today so kids like me and Laura, we can still be living today and speaking.
And you're feeling good now?
Yes.
Are you all better? You're pretty close, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you're going to do good.
Good afternoon. My name is Carolyn Hendricks. When I was 4 years old, I was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma, a pediatric bone cancer. 11 years later, I'm now 16 years old, and I'm doing great. What you're doing today, Mr. President, means that kids like me we'll get better options and so much more hope for the future. Mr. President, because of actions like this, kids like me have the chance to grow up, to chase our dreams, and to live full lives. And that is the greatest gift anyone could ever give.
Wow. That was so cool. Where did you learn how to speak like that?
I've done lots of speeches for childhood cancer over the last few years, and I'm also in a theater program, so that
helps
a lot.
That's great. Well, good. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I've had a brain tumor since I was 4 months. Now I'm off brain. I'm off all medicines. I'm a cancer survivor. I've had a brain tumor since I was 4 months, and I'm doing great. I'm 15 now, and I'm going to 10.
And you're going to be a football player, offensive lineman.
That's wonderful. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.